Coming out of turn four, we're back with the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
And thanks for tuning in.
Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up, everybody? Y'all know what time it is. The 41 NASCAR Podcast. It is the season finale here in 2020. My name is Eddie Greer III, host of the 41 NASCAR Podcast. You know what the deal is. Getting out to our truck series, 3 series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the previous divisions of all of motorsports. And time to do some house cleaning a little bit before I bring my special guest on to cap the season off. Of course, even though this is the season finale, there will be still be off-season episodes from yours truly. And after, of course, this week, we're going every 2 weeks for this podcast. I'm doing some house cleaning before I bring on my special guest on here to talk trucks and other things here tonight. But yes, the podcast will still be going, but only 2 weeks at a time. Of course, this will continue to go through the holiday season and through up to the end of January. And then we're going to pick right back up first week of February with every week with all new episodes, of course. And obviously, the off season will have new episodes of what's going on. And yes, folks, there's been a lot of stuff going on off track already. We'll get you all caught back up on the news, and I'm sure we'll talk about with our guest here, Briar Starr. I'll bring him on in a couple of minutes here, but I just want to do some house cleaning before I bring him on. So the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, yes, this is the finale, but we will be still be coming to you every 2 weeks. So in another 2 weeks, we'll be back on pod. This is officially really the off season, even though this is the season finale of the podcast. What a year it's been had for the 2020 NASCAR season. Of course, I talked a lot last week about the Cup Series. Tonight, be much focused on the Truck Series. I brought on Briar Starr from Speedway Media early on in the year before NASCAR season started. Well, why not? Let's book in the year with him back on to talk, well, trucks. So, got that going on, and we'll talk Xfinity as well, and we'll get Briar's thoughts on the Cup Season as well. So again, this is the last episode of the month here, and then we'll be back December 4th. So yeah, so the deal is still the podcast will come out on Friday still, but the off season will be every 2 weeks up until the last week of January and then of the new year, and then February, the first week, we'll be back with obviously every week bringing y'all the latest up to date of what's happening in NASCAR. Of course, you can follow me at at Eddie EG3. I don't even know my it's been a long year and a tiring day actually. So let me go check this out. Okay, here we go. So had a brain fart there for a moment. So okay, at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. Again, folks, if you're interested, please follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. And again, a 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Find it wherever you get your episode, wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Audio Boom, Radio.com, SoundCloud, and of course, we're on Amazon Music as well. If you have Alexa in your home, please tell it to play the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast and play it for you. And of course, the reason why I'm going 2 weeks with this podcast because I have another podcast that I've been doing since midsummer, which is the Purple Project Podcast, a Kansas State podcast focusing on athletics. So I'm turning more attention towards that as well. So I'm going to be focusing more on that, getting that, continuing to make that going as well during the offseason. So don't worry, you're going to get your NASCAR fix every 2 weeks with us, with me, EG3, at Eddie_ ET3 and 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Man, that's a mouthful to say right there. So at the end of this episode, you hear the closing music. You're not going to be hearing me. You're going to be hearing the closing music, and we'll be talking to you first Friday of the summer of the last month of 2020. Man, it's been a weird year, and it continues to be that as well. We're going to step aside real quick, take a time out here in the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, ET3, and on the other side, Speedway Media's Briar Starr will be on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Come on back.
Don't get caught in the middle. The 3Wide podcast will be right back after this timeout.
Deal is NASCAR Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, which is now going to go back to the Kid World Truck Series, leave next year as well. I threw that in there? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, alright, folks, this is the Season 5 finale, and like I said at the top, this is the off season here for the podcast, so it will be going 2 weeks up until February, and then we'll be back with episodes every week from there. So that's the update again for y'all you guys just tuning in on the podcast. But now, folks, time to bring on, of course, a familiar guest to the podcast. Of course, I started with him at the beginning of the year. Why not cap it, bookend the year with Speedway Media's Briar Starr? Got him on the line. Briar, what's going on, man?
Well, you know, kind of glad that it is finally the quote-unquote off season after this crazy year. As we all know, and so I just wrapped up, actually my off season started last weekend as I was watching the IMSA 12 hours of Sebring race, so I was doing some live coverage on that. And so after that race, I was like, oh my gosh, finally, it is here, the quote-unquote off-season. So I'm just so glad that now we kind of have our, you know, catch our breath a little bit.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yes, this pod, I know a few podcasts that I listen to, we'll be keeping it going throughout the off-season every week, while this one will be going every 2 weeks up until February, because I have another podcast that I've been doing called the Purple Project Podcast. So I'm putting focus on that through the offseason as well. So I'm not taking a break, just every other break.
Well, and it's funny you say that. So I remembered a quote that from a spotter told me last year at Kansas Speedway when I was in the garage area. You know, I became mutual friends with him, and he told me, we were hanging out in the holler, and he told me, he goes, Briar, he goes, there is no off season in NASCAR. He goes, there is a down you know, no racing season, but there is no off season. And for whatever reason, that kind of stuck with me, and I just kind of took it from there. And he is true on that aspect. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true, especially for the crew members, as obviously we've seen there's about a lot of stuff going on with the new car testing that's been going on the last couple of days. There's been some silly season continuing to go on, so he's obviously spot on with that. So there's going to be a lot going on throughout the offseason. Of course, we're going to have it covered as well as we continue the end of 2020 and into 2021. Well, Briar, how's your week going? I know we talked a little bit before having you back on the show. I forgot that the awards were happening tonight. I just got home, so.
well, the week is going pretty good. Like I said, just kind of easing through the week and trying to get through the weekend and everything, and I'm really looking forward to this weekend with no racing and watching a little bit of K-State football on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll talk about that to cap off the show. Yeah, definitely I want to get your thoughts on Iowa State and this whole deal with the whole corona and everything else like that. So, yeah, it's been one of those years, but somehow the Big 12 has been on top of it, while the other conferences it's been a struggle for them getting through it. So definitely want your thoughts on that. So, okay, so I had you on the early in the year talking trucks, and why not have you back on to cap off the year talking trucks as well. Last week I talked a lot about Cup Series and Chase Elliott winning his first title there a few weeks ago at Phoenix. They're over Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Denny Hamlin. So I kind of want to get your thoughts first on just the whole Cup side of things there, and what are your thoughts on Chase Elliott winning, finally breaking through to the Championship Four and coming through big time to get his first championship.
Right, and you know, earlier this season, or at least the midway season in the summer series, as we should say, it was dominated by Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, and we're like, well, they're definitely going to be in the Championship Four, no doubt. You know, Harvick had 9 wins of the year. Hamlin was entering the playoffs with like more than 5 wins of the year, and you know, this is his age 39 season. You know, a lot of stats are saying this is a driver's peak performance year in racing, and so a lot of people had, you know, Denny circled. I kind of had Denny circled just based on that statistic. And so, unfortunately, Denny didn't really have, you know, a great car, honestly. Didn't really lead any laps. Didn't really stand out. I actually thought Harvick was going to make it in, but he got, you know, didn't make it from Martinsville. So, but yeah, on Chase Elliott, you know, a lot of people say he's not kind of deserving just based on the fact that the format itself and all of that, but honestly, you know, he's got some wins this year to his credit. You know, winning a Daytona road course, that was the first quote-unquote Daytona road course race for the Cup Series that no one has really had practice on yet. And if you look at his stats for this year, he's got 5 wins, 15 top fives, and 22 top 10 finishes. That is the most he's ever had in his career since the 2016 season when he went full-time. So, you know, yes, you could say, well, maybe he kind of was not the rightful champion, as they all say, but actually I think he is deserving of that title.
Yeah, like I talked about, yeah, exactly. When I talked about last week and the week before last on this show, that, yeah, I mean, the 19 performed all the way through all 10 races in these playoffs. Yeah, you want to take, I talked about he and Truex in the first race of this playoffs, you know. Went for that, he could have won the race or finished second to him. But yeah, that night car had a lot of speed in it. And you bring up a good point about Denny Hamlin. Yeah, I thought Denny Hamlin struggle's not the right word. I felt that team kind of fell a couple of notches a little bit in the playoffs there, and then Kevin Harvick is going to be the poster child, unfortunately, as a guy that had all those playoff points, and everybody, including me, I thought he was sure locked to get in the Championship Four, right, with all those points and all those wins this year. But again, I mean, didn't perform late in these playoffs like he needed to. And of course, I told you this a few weeks ago. I was going to the race, the playoff race at up in Kansas City, and that was the opportunity there. And well, you know, Kevin Harvick finished second. He's going to be okay. Well, turns out that it cost him a chance to race for the championship. Costly there, and Joey Logano did what he had to do. Whether it was the depending on the package or not, everybody was uproar after that race. So yeah, I mean, now moving forward, I mean, you're gonna have to race. You're gonna have to race what it's worth to go out there, and it's not a guarantee now to get to the Championship Four. Now, I mean, Kevin Harvick, for all the success, 9 wins. Through 2020 and did not get to the Championship Four, and then on top of that, reading tweets, Rick Mass and a couple others saying that, oh, you know, Kevin Harvick, he needs a free pass to get to the Championship Four. Let's have 5 cars in it. No. I didn't like that. The format, it is what it is, and if you can't perform in it, then unfortunately, you don't deserve to be there. And for him, for Kevin Harvick, Martinsville was a kryptonite. And he didn't. And what cost him was not getting stage points in not one, not even two, not even both the stages he didn't get points. So that really hurt Kevin Harvick in his opportunity to race at Phoenix. And even then, I mean, he wasn't even a factor. I mean, yes, the Championship Four was all up there. And I talked about that last week as well. I was impressed. You see all four of those cars up there. Miami, we see great racing at Homestead in the past, but we haven't seen Championship Four drivers finish 1, 2, 3, 4. We haven't seen that until a few weeks ago. So I thought that was eye-opening with the racing up there. But Kevin Harvick, he was an absolute non-factor in that race in general.
And, you know, that's why we always watch, right? Like, we can't really just say, well, Martinsville, okay, yeah, they could bring a fast car and finish second or third and be locked into the Champ Four. But, like you said, he didn't win at Kansas the week before, and that ultimately costed him from advancing because, you know, like you said, too, there was a lot of angry fans after that Kansas race. Like, oh, man, Kevin Harvick should have, you know, dunked Logano in the final laps and, you know, take the checkered flag, or you know, he should have easily, you know, passed him, but, you know, Logano basically had a faster car than Kevin did at the Kansas race, and then, you know, and that hurt him, and then ultimately, like, Martinsville is just, you know, he made a last, you know, effort to get around Kyle Busch for 1 point margin, and when that moment happened, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. So, but yeah, it was just, you know, that's why we always watch.
Yep, and that's why you race the races. That's why the old cliche, you gotta play on the field. You gotta race the races. So, yeah, that moving forward, we're all gonna be looking back at this crazy 2020 and saying, okay, whoever is the regular season champion for next year, we're going to find out for sure if that driver, whether it's, let's just say Kyle Busch, for example, goes out with the regular season championship. Okay, let's see if he can continue to race like he has been all year long, carry into the playoffs. So we'll see. Next year is going to be interesting with the same car next year, and then obviously the new Gen Ed car will be on track in 2022. So I've been seeing videos of that. So any surprises or any disappointments from the Cups side of things, Briar, that you take from 2020?
I think, you know, we just talked about him, and it is obvious, but, you know, Kevin Harvick, I would say, would be the most disappointment as far as not making it to the Champ Four. Having 9 wins of the season and 20 top fives, 27 top 10 finishes, you know, a lot of laps led in winning that Michigan doubleheader back in August. You know, I mean, he was on fire. And
yeah,
you know, sometimes maybe teams peak a little too early. We've heard all about that too. And I think another disappointment is Denny Hamlin. You know, he opened up the season with another Daytona 500 win, a track that he is really good at. And, you know, and yes, he did make it to the Champ Four, but he was one of the probably slowest cars in the Champ Four. So I would have to say those two would probably be the most disappointment of the season.
Yeah, and again, I touched on this last week's podcast, Briar, that... Yeah, Denny Hamlin, slowest of the four drivers there in the Championship Four. Very surprising considering that he absolutely kicked everybody's butt last year to get into the Championship Four at Homestead last year. This very same track. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. One year you're super dominant at one track, and then you come back the next year and you're off for some reason. So Denny Hamlin, another year goes by. And no title. I mean, Denny's trying to say the right things. I mean, continue to win races, you know, and continue to put ourselves there. But how much longer? You know, how much longer can you keep doing that? I mean, mm-hmm. It's not a guarantee you're going to be in this position in any year. So it's got to be in the forefront of his mind. You win all these races, and then you come up short. You run into a buzzsaw with Chase Elliott, who was super fast from the back. He had to start from the back, obviously, failing pre-tech twice. And I just knew that Chase Elliott was going to win that race. He was flying through the field. But yeah, Denny Hamlin, he had his struggles out there in Phoenix, so you gotta wonder. I mean, it's not a guarantee. I mean, another Daytona 500 to win, but at the end, it's all for naught for that 11 team. So at some point, you know, Chris Gabehart, Denny Hamlin, I believe, and you can correct me this on am I right or not, that this duo, crew chief driver duo, has the most wins probably in a 2-year span. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, you can correct me on that or not, but they've won a lot of races. I mean, outside of taking Ronnie Childers and Kevin Harvick aside, this duo right here for the 11, they've won a lot of races, and yet no championship to show for it. So, Brian, you got to wonder, man. I mean, we keep saying it. Everybody keeps saying, I mean, this is the year Denny's going to win a championship. When is Denny going to win a championship? Well, that conversation will carry over to next season.
Right. And, you know, when he won the Kansas race last fall, I asked him, I said, this is when he was going into those final few races with a lot of momentum. And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, would you be disappointed of not winning the championship, you know, this year, 2019, last year? And I think he told me, he said, I don't really base my success off of winning the championship. It's more off the wins. Okay. Yeah, that's true, and Kevin Harvick said that too, following the Martinsville race. But we all know every driver wants to win that championship. We all know, and you know, deep down inside of Denny Hamlin's mind, he wants to win that championship before he retires. And you know, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be stuck with the Mark Martin generation of this you know age. And so, like I said. You know, peak performance, can he keep up the win season? You know, 7 wins of the year, but, you know, next year he could drop off. He could have 0 wins in the year, and, you know, he can end up being like Jimmy Johnson in his final year. So, we never know.
Briar Starr here from Speedway Media, back on the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Yeah, so you never know. Like Kyle Busch, you know, had to win at Texas to keep that win streak alive there. So Kyle Busch there barely does that. And speaking of which, Kyle Busch, and I talked on this podcast a few weeks ago after, I believe it was after Texas, yeah, somewhere in there, that, you know, there were a lot of talks about changes Kyle brought up the fact about, and when a question was asked about change, said he didn't know. Well, come to the fact that there'll be no more Adam Stevens and Kyle Busch duo for next year. That is going to be Ben Bayshore's job now. He's going to be the crew chief, Briar, for Kyle Busch in 2021, while Adam Stevens now moves over to Christopher Bell, who had a nice second half to this season in number 95 Levine Family Racing Toyota before Levine Family had to close its doors, unfortunately, this season. So Christopher Bell had a great second half of the season. So Adam Stevens moves over to C. Bell, while Ben Bayshore goes to Kyle Busch. Briar, what are your thoughts on this move for JGR?
Well, it's a kind of, you know, 50-50 when the season started before all this coronavirus, you know, pandemic began in March. It seemed like they were on the right track. You know, they're coming off of winning the championship last year, and they had such momentum going into 2020. They didn't really win a race or had too much luck, I don't think, before the NASCAR season restarted in May. And so it's like, well, sometimes we hear about the season following the driver winning the championship, how they have so much bad luck and all that. So we're thinking, like, well, maybe it could be that. But then Kyle Busch said earlier in the season, you know, we don't have no practice or qualifying, and that does not help our team at all. But then, okay, that's true for at least a couple of races, but then when everybody adjusts to it 4 weeks after that's happened, and when we did away with qualifying for the rest of the season, it's like, okay, and what's the next, you know, excuse or so to say of why you are not competing or winning up front? And, you know, obviously those guys have had some tense moments on the radio, as we've probably all heard. And so it seemed like it was just a boiling point. And so it looks like they finally just had enough of each other, and it's like, well, maybe it's time to go different ways. In an interesting twist, you know, you brought up that Ben Baser. That's a tough thing to say.
Yes.
He was Harrison Burton's crew chief this year in the Xfinity Series, and he won 4 races with Harrison Burton, so he looks like a really good crew chief. Got Burton into the playoffs. Fortunately, he missed the playoffs for, I think, wrecking out at Kansas, I believe. And so it will be interesting to see how Ben is able to handle Bush's emotions on the radio next year. And who knows, maybe it would be a breath of fresh air as Bush starts to enter his peak years.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Kyle Busch finishing 8th in the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series standings, had only one victory, 14 top fives, 20 top tens, and a whopping 6 DNFs. I had to double check this stat there. 6 DNFs for Kyle Busch. Man, that's a lot for that 18 team there. And only led 516 laps in 2020. And in 3 stage wins for Kyle Busch. So yeah, Briar, it's going to be interesting to see the tail end for Kyle Busch, but also Christopher Bell. Finally, Joe Gibbs following the plan after a year with Levine Family Racing. Christopher Bell back home, if you will, want to call it, with Joe Gibbs Racing there. And Christopher Bell finishing 20th in the Cup Series standings this season. Only 2 top fives and 7 top tens for Christopher Bell. So we'll find out for sure when the season starts for JGR and what Kyle Busch and Ben Bayshore has in store. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I want to get your thoughts on Jimmy Johnson and Clint Bowyer. Breyer. Jimmy Johnson obviously wrapping up an impressive resume in NASCAR. Obviously the seventh-time champ. Finished fifth in the final finale a couple weeks ago. And then Clint Bowyer finished outside the top 10 there. Chase Briscoe taking over that ride next year. That is going to be, obviously, that's going to be a must-watch there to see how Chase Briscoe adapts after he had the most wins in the Xfinity Series, did not win the championship there in the Xfinity Series, while Alex Bowman goes into the 48 next year for Jimmy Johnson. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on Clint Bowyer wrapping up his career and obviously going into the Fox booth in 2021. Jimmy Johnson wrapping up an impressive career in NASCAR.
So first on Jimmy Johnson's side, I mean, you know, stats speak for themselves. 83 wins, 7 championships. You know, you tied Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt for those titles. And obviously, it looked like he was going to go for maybe 8 titles, but it just seemed like after his Stewart win 3 years ago, it kind of, you know, I don't know what happened with him. Like, his performance just dropped off to, you know, only 2 top fives, not top tens. And then, you know, this year he only had 5 top fives and 10 top ten finishes. It's like, you know, this is not the Jimmy Johnson we know. The Jimmy Johnson we know is he's getting 10 wins a year or 6 wins a year. And so making the playoffs, and, you know, I think everybody was disappointed at Daytona, the season finale in August, where, you know, I think everybody was kind of cheering for Jimmy to get, you know, into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was trying to be like, hey, you know, kind of get that fairy tale ending or something like that, as they say in sports. But, you know, unfortunately, I think that, I would, you know, going back to your surprises or disappointments, I think that was kind of a, I don't know if it would be a surprise or disappointment. It's one of the two. But it's just, you know, this season didn't really work out in his favor. And it's like, he only led 107 laps. That's the least amount of laps he's led since 2018, where he only led 40 laps. So, total. And that's crazy. You know, prior years, he's, I mean, 2,000-plus laps. And so, yeah, it was pretty unfortunate just to see his career kind of, you know, end up like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, and Clint Bowyer, obviously, he did make the playoffs, but was out after the round of 12. He ended up finishing in the 12th spot in the overall standings. Only 2 top fives, 12 top tens, 2 DNFs, and 280 laps led for 14 of Clint Bowyer. So, What are your thoughts on Clint Bowyer moving on to the booth? And Clint had a decent career, not great, but a decent career at that. But he's taking his personality to the booth, which I'm excited about. So, any more thoughts on Clint Bowyer as he gets ready to basically head to the booth next year?
Well, you know, Clint is obviously our Ohio State guy. You know, he's always entertaining, before the race starts, always, you know, taking time for fans. I remember about 2 years ago, I was not working this race, and I was just going as a fan, and I had another friend with me, and we were on pit road. We were kind of like standing behind his car, and this is like one of my favorite memories of him. Like, I was not asking for a photo or anything like that, but he saw me, and he just came straight up to me and, like, you know, like, you want a photo? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to turn it down if you ask for one. So, but, you know, that's what I like about him is, you know, he's always so interactive with people. Obviously, when he gets mad and frustrated, that's also very entertaining, too. And so, yeah. You know, it was also kind of disappointing to not see him win this year or last year after he got 2 wins the year before. So it's kind of ended on a disappointing note, as I just said. But like you said, the Fox thing next year should definitely be very some thoughtful conversations, especially with Jeff Gordon being his quote-unquote teammate next year.
yeah, those guys kind of went at it a little bit on a friendly side during the whole iRacing deal earlier this year. So definitely going to be interested, as we all will for sure, see how those guys mesh in the booth. And they needed another person up in that booth. Yes, Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon did a great job in their portion this year, but they're missing that third person, in my opinion. So hopefully Clint Bowyer will elevate that broadcast, and I believe he will do that. So moving on now, finally, to the truck side. So a few weeks ago, Sheldon Creed bring home first truck championship in thrilling overtime fashion. Man, my heart broke for Brett Moffitt there. Three laps to go, caution comes out, and it changed everything there. And Grant Evinger was part of the championship four. He got in via win at Martinsville with an impressive drive, holding off Christian Eckes and teammate Ben Rhodes to get there. And Creed, Moffitt, Infinger, and Zane Smith, an impressive first year with GMS, getting to the championship four there. And you predicted earlier, before the season started, that Zane Smith would get a couple wins, and he did just that. So I get kudos to you on that. And he finishes in second. He was very disappointed with that second place finish. But of course, anybody would, because you're the first loser there in that aspects there. But Zane Smith, very impressive. But Sheldon Creed, to me, really turned it up in the summer months this year. He really come on to his own. Five wins this year. And he kind of in one way or another. And I said this earlier this year on his podcast, he kind of had his teammate Brett Moffitt's number, getting wins there. I mean, obviously Brett Moffitt, he's moving up to the Xfinity Series next year, but such a shame. Brett Moffitt, in that kind of fashion there, called out NASCAR for throwing out the caution there. But yeah, I mean, I don't blame one bit for that. I mean, you're going to be upset there, but GMS as a whole, very impressive, having three trucks, Breyer, in the Champ 4. Very, very impressive. That's equaling to what JGR did in last year's Champ 4. We're having three of their guys in the Champ 4. Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Mark Trace Jr. GMS, very, very impressive, having three trucks in Champ 4.
Yeah, that's pretty much 75% of the team being in the Champ 4 when you only got one team for the Thor Sport, with Grant Enfinger in there out too, and after he won at Martinsville. And, you know, that had to be heartbreaking moments for Moffitt, who was basically going to run away with the title.
Yeah.
Had the caution not come out, so... And I would say that would be another kind of surprise moment of the season is, you know, last year Moffitt had four wins with GMS, but this year he's only has one win, and it just seemed like, you know, maybe something wasn't ticking with the team like it did last year. I'm not really sure, but it just seemed like he never really got, quote-unquote, it with GMS Racing compared to his previous team, Hattori Racing Enterprises, the year he won the championship in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of very shocking performance-wise from one year to the next. But yeah, Brett Moffitt, obviously rightfully frustrated. And so was Zane Smith. I actually thought when Sheldon Creed made that dive bomb move going into one and two there, I'm like, okay, this is going to end two ways. One, he's going to make this work and he's going to shock everybody. Or two, he's going to wipe out the whole field, including possibly the championship contenders. So, but surprisingly, he made it work, and he walked away with championship, five wins of the season, and I would say he's kind of a rightful champion.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Sheldon Creed, GMS, hence GMS, another truck championship. Meanwhile, Green Imbinger, who was the Redlinson champion of last year, obviously got eliminated early with that crazy Thor Sport fiasco in Las Vegas last year. Makes it all the way to Homestead. And of course, you gotta look at the other side, the flip side of it, with Matt Crafton not getting in the champ four. And I predicted this early before the season started. I said Matt Crafton would not get back to the champ four, and he did not. And then Austin Hill, I want to talk about him for a moment. Austin Hill, another heartbreaking moment in the round of eight in these playoffs. Of course, last year, at this track to try to get to Homestead Miami, Hill qualified on the pole, but had issues with the truck throughout the race, and the result did not make it in, and then turn around at Martinsville, has some type of engine issues, and then eventually the engine blows up, and wow, Austin Hill for the second straight year did not make it, and he was tied with Sheldon Creed for the number one spot, if I'm correct on that. So yeah, Austin Hill, 2 years in a row for Hortori Racing, not making it to the Champ Four there. So again, that's kind of, he had some impressive numbers this year. Two wins, 11 top fives, 17 top tens, and I want to say I picked him to be in the Champ Four this year, and it did not happen for him. So yeah, I gotta wonder, you know, this is a championship caliber team, obviously. Brett Moffitt, mm-hmm. you already mentioned him in a Hattori Racing a little bit ago, winning the title with them. And Hill, you know, something always happens. It's NASCAR, things happen. And something always happens with Hill when he gets late into these rounds. But you gotta think about next year, but another kind of missed opportunity for Hill, you know, to get to Champ Four and possibly, obviously, contend for a title.
Right. And these are two missed years to win the championship. Last year, four wins. You know, it's what could have been for last year. He won the season finale race at Homestead, and he most likely would have been the championship, or won the championship if he had been the Champ Four, but he wasn't. This year, he misses out because of those engine problems at Martinsville just the week before Phoenix. And it's just like, okay, so the good news is he's going to be back with the same team next year, but he's only got so many more chances, like we talked about with Denny Hamlin earlier, to, okay, this is the year that you really got to show it. This is your third year with us. If you have, you know, if you don't win this year, then what's going to happen the year after? And so, you know, I feel like, you know, 2021 will probably be a circled year on Hill's calendar, and I'm sure he's probably disappointed too of not being able to win the championship yet. You know, finishing sixth this year in the standings, fifth last year with four wins, and so, you know, I mean, I think next year has got to be a huge year for him.
Yeah. So kind of got when you want to get back in that same spot. So Austin Hill will try again next year. I want to talk about a marked man in the truck series, and that's this 99 truck of Ben Rhodes, who finished in seventh in the overall standings this year. Had the win at Darlington this year, 9 top fives, 14 top tens. Ben Rhodes made plenty of enemies late in the year. Called him out after the bonehead move at Texas. I thought he should have been suspended for the rest of the race, that race, and nothing didn't happen there. And he's making a lot of drivers mad. He's probably not going to get any Christmas presents anytime soon, aka the holiday season around the corner. But Ben Rhodes, what is up with Ben Rhodes? And obviously he has an aggressive driving style, obviously, but late in the year, he's made a lot of enemies here, and at some point down the road, It might be next year. he might get himself in a little dust up here.
Yeah, and you know, I thought that was gonna be the case at Texas a couple weeks ago, where you know he pretty much blatantly wrecked Christian Eckes off the turn four out of nowhere. And I'm sure you've seen it, but there was also that photo on the Truck Series Twitter page of Christian Eckes holding up the two fingers when Ben Rhodes was driving by him on pit road. I'm like, well, they could get in the fight, but they didn't. And, potentially next year, if Eckes, I believe Eckes is back next year. If Eckes could return to favor, and, you know, like you said, there were also a lot of other drivers that Rhodes made angry. I'm not really sure what happened with him late in this season, but yeah, it was just very surprising to see, you know, this aggressive side of, you know, nature come out of Rhodes. You know, that's only going to happen so much until, you know, NASCAR says, hey, you know, if he continues to do what he did with Eckes at Texas, like, you know, wreck people out of nowhere, at some point NASCAR will probably step in and say, hey, you know, don't be doing this anymore.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
EG3 hanging out with Speedway Media's Brian Starr here on the podcast of Season 5 finale here before calendar year turns 2021 here on the podcast. Eddie Greer here for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Okay, so another positive here I want to talk about. We talked about him. I mentioned him a few moments ago. Zane Smith. First full year in the Truck Series, 2 wins, 7 top 5s, 13 top 10s, and he led just under 4,400 laps, and had 6 stage wins in the Cup, just a hair short of a championship. I know he was disappointed after the race, we get that, but this is going to be huge momentum for Zane Smith heading into next year here to try to get back in the same spot. But I was very impressed. I was impressed with him when he drove those Xfinity Series races with Junior Motorsports last year. I was very impressed with him, and I was very impressed with Zane throughout the year. What are your thoughts on Zane Smith this year and he getting that close to a championship and his possible upside to next year?
You know, I feel like if I would have to give a grade, I would probably give an A-minus grade for Smith this year. You know, he's had a very impressive rookie season. Of course, yes, he had some DNFs, some crashes here and there, but that's going to happen in your rookie year. I mean, that's kind of an exception. You know, you got to learn from those mistakes. And so, yes, next year he's got to come back for more and, you know, maybe I see him potentially getting 4 wins or potentially 5 wins next year. And so, kind of already throwing it out there.
Already.
But, you know, he has a crew chief, Kevin Mannion. Mannion was the 2-time Xfinity Series champion with Martin Truex Jr. back in the day. And so, obviously, Kevin knows what it's like to win a championship with a championship-winning driver. And so, I'm sure those two will bring the experience this year and carry it forward to next year and hopefully potentially win more races.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that camp, that 21 camp for next year. Kind of a list of some surprises here for me throughout the truck season. For one, I'm going to give a shout out to Derek Krause, that number 19 Toyota truck. Man, I called his name out here lately toward the end of the season. Derek Krause really showed me something. 3 top 5s, 13 top 10s. He finished just outside the playoffs. Did not make the playoffs, but finished 11th there, and he led only 31 laps, but the consistency for that 19 truck was there, and Derek Krause was very impressive, And then, Breyer, shout out to you. You predicted that Rafael Lazard would get a win this year, and he did that. Talladega, Lazard has some strong runs to close out 2020 as well. So, for Kyle Busch Motorsports, we would have thought that Christian Eckes would get the win. He gets shut out in 2020. Rafael Lazard gets that win for Kyle Busch Motorsports. So, that honestly for me will be a surprise and obviously a disappointment. Yeah, I thought Johnny Sauter, I picked him to be in the Champ 4. Obviously didn't make it. What a nightmarish 2020 for Johnny Sauter. Matching his truck number, finished 13th in the standings. Only 3 top 5s, 8 top 10s. Yeah, that's unheard of. You usually hear him in the mix to get for ballot championships, but not this year due to a lot of things that are out of his control. And then sometimes he'll get in some situations that he shouldn't be in. So, very strange 2020 for Sauter. And my other one, obviously, and I'll probably take your words out of your mouth here, but Stuart Friesen, 52 truck, who made this team, Hallmark Racing, made the changeover from Chevy to Toyota. Man, it took them a little longer than expected to get him comfortable in those cars. And remember, Stuart Friesen, Breyer, was part of Champ 4 last year at Homestead last year, and he finished 15th in the standings. So, gotta wonder what was up, and probably the manufacturer change had probably something to do with it there. I mean, he had some runs here and there, but it just wasn't all clicking for that 52 truck.
Right, and when he won that stage at Martinsville last month, I looked up the stats, and I think it was like the first time since, gosh, probably Phoenix of last year or something like that, where he won a stage. I'm like, my gosh, are you kidding? Like, and I heard that on the Fox broadcast, and I was like, yeah, this is the first time he won the stage this year. I'm like, man, it's like Sierra just really fell off the map this year. And you could be right. That could be part of the, you know, switching over to the Toyota / Kyle Busch Motorsports side as they're getting trucks from Kyle Busch Motorsports, too. So, yeah, it was just really a strange year for Friesen, who's normally running up front, collecting top 10s, collecting top 5s, a win here and there. But, you know, just definitely a very shocking season.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, and before we transition to the Xfinity Series side here, I want to talk about Haley Deegan, who's going to be making her full-time appearance next year. We saw her in Kansas City, made her official debut in Kansas City a few weeks ago for Clean Harbors 200 there, where she finished. She finished in the 16th position for the 17 truck for DGR Crossley, and she'll be full-time next year. And she started in the back of the field, no laps on the truck, and worked it to almost a top 15 finish there in Kansas City there. So that was very, very good for Haley Deegan. And Brian, I want your thoughts on Haley Deegan's chances next year. And we don't, obviously, I mean, we don't know how things will work. Mm-hmm. Will they be the same as they were this year? Obviously, with this whole pandemic still going on, and we all know what's going on with that. So, Haley Deegan, full-time next year. I mean, give us your early thoughts on what she can do. I mean, she said in one of her interviews that I listened to, she said the truck racing fits her style of racing. So, what are your thoughts on Haley Deegan and her full-time opportunity with DGR Crossley?
So, obviously, that is very exciting news with her going full-time in trucks. I kind of suspected that would happen. Mm. But honestly, I'm going to throw a little shocker here. But I feel like she is going to get 0 wins and 0 top 5s next year.
Ooh.
I'm not trying to be harsh, but, you know, it's going to be a huge learning curve, right? I feel like, you know, yes, she could have a rookie year like Zane Smith, win 2 races or something like that and make a Champ 4. That could happen. We don't know. But, you know, I honestly felt like she could have stayed in the ARCA series for one more year and get more experience on those bigger tracks. Because as we all know, sometimes drivers move up a little too fast, you know, now, yep. Especially nowadays.
And, yes, yep.
We've seen that, and so I'm, like, a little cautious, probably cautious is the right word, of what she could do next year. Honestly, she could shock us all, win a couple of races, so, well, I think it's just going to have to be those wait-and-see things.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a steep learning curve, that's for sure, for Haley Deegan. I mean, we've seen drivers come up too fast and not perform very well or not brought up the wrong way. So, I mean, Haley Deegan moved from Toyota to Ford. So, and Ford, they have this plan in place, so we'll see if they stick with it. But yeah, we're all going to be paying attention to see what Haley Deegan does in that truck next year in 2021, as she's going to be full-time in the 17 for DGR Crosley Racing. All right, folks, time to move over to the other series. Now, the Xfinity series now, as Austin Cindric, who I picked to win the championship on this show, pulled it out in overtime fashion, just like Sheldon Creed the night before there, having to pass Justin Allgaier to do it there, and then got around Noah Gregson to hold off Noah Gregson for his first championship. Obviously, a plan already is in place for young Austin Cindric. He'll be back in the Xfinity Series next year, and then he's going to be in that 21 ride for the Wood Brothers in the Cup side for 2022. So there's already a plan in place there, which is going to kick Matty Benedetto out of that ride for after next season. We're already talking about next season already. Wow. But yeah, Cindric, he really came on this year. They're challenging the 98 of Chase Briscoe. And Briscoe bringing out the last caution there. And yeah, there are some comments there on Twitter that I ran across from. But Chase Briscoe there, 9 wins this year. Like I mentioned early on in the show, did not win the championship. And then Justin Haley, the other contestant in the Champ 4, where we all thought that Ross Chastain, which was my surprise this year, I thought Ross Chastain was going to win some races this year in Colin Carr. And we know the news now that Jeb Burton, I'm pumped for him, being now the driver of the number 10 Nutrien-Ag Solutions Chevrolet for Colin Racing next year. What a story for Jeb Burton getting that ride. But back to Chastain. Chastain, no wins. And obviously for him, he's moving up to the Cup Series, Brian, next year in that 42 ride, which Matt Kenseth has vacated there, obviously, at the end of the checkered flag a few weeks ago in Phoenix there. So what were your thoughts on the Champ 4 race in Arizona?
Yeah, as you mentioned, when that last caution came out, that was, you know, for Chase Briscoe. I was like, well, I'm always on Twitter for most of the races. Sometimes I stay off of it for a couple hours. But when that finally yellow came out, I'm like, oh, Twitter should be interesting right now. And so I checked it. And like you said, it was kind of interesting. Some people were saying, like, well, you know, he spun on purpose to bring out the final yellow or something like that. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't think that's true. But it was kind of an uproar a little bit. And so, honestly, it was kind of, you know, disappointing a little bit to see another championship race end or come to an overtime finish with another late race yellow. You know, we thought Allgaier and gosh, you can't think of the other driver's name that was running up front, but because it's been so long ago. But we all thought they were going to win, but then just like Friday night, just like Moffitt's situation, caution comes out, everybody comes down pit road, and it's kind of like, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, the sort of situations. And you know, Century kind of got the right spot, lined up behind the race leaders, and made a thrilling move by Allgaier and won himself the championship.
Austin Cindric, 6 wins in 2020, 19 top fives, 26 top tens, only four DNFs, led over 900 laps there, 11 stage wins for Double Deuce, on his way to winning his first championship. He's going to have a chance to have the opportunity to get back in a situation to try to repeat as Xfinity champion next year. That's going to be one of the storylines already in 2021 there. Allgaier finishing in second there with his 3 wins. Haley had 3 wins and had already called Briscoe with his 9 early on throughout the show, really. 16 top fives, 22 top tens, 1,032 laps led for the 98 Ford. Did not get the championship. What are your thoughts on Chase Briscoe, his season, which he's had a great season, but in dealing with trials and tribulations on and off the racetrack, and then now he's going to be taking place of Clint Bowyer in that 14 ride.
Right, and you know, he opened up the season with a strong finish of 5th at Daytona. Kind of, you know, he won at Las Vegas, but everybody, you know, kind of didn't really quote unquote know him well yet, until that Darlington race where he really opened up what happened, you know, surrounding his life, and that kind of brought everybody to his side a little bit, and it was so cool to see that race after all that rain delay during that time, you know, hold off Kyle Busch for the win, the all-time Xfinity Series wins leader in a thrilling fashion. And, you know, that I feel like, to me, that kind of kick-started, you know, the season for him. But yes, obviously, he had some, you know, finishes outside of the top 15, which is kind of uncharacteristic-like for him. But then he really heated it up in the summer, and so did Austin Cindric. They both kind of, it was kind of a 1-2-man race there in the summer, and especially toward the end of the year. But definitely, Briscoe had momentum on his side. You know, he won 2 consecutive weeks in a row from Bristol to Las Vegas. And, you know, we were thinking like, yep, this is the Kevin Harvick. He's got 9 wins. He's going to win the championship. And, but, you know, like, it's just that one race. If you can't perform, then you're not the champion.
You're listening to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3.
Another driver here that I want to fit rock to kind of put a tie bow on a 2020 NASCAR season is Harrison Burton. And we're probably the 98 and the 22, they're probably fortunate not to see Harrison Burton in the Champ 4. 2 wins in the round of 8 after getting knocked out barely out of the transfer spot to move on to the round of 8. Harrison Burton took a potential Champ 4 spot away from Noah Gregson at Texas, and then he muscled up at Martinsville and won that race there. So he took 2 of 3 in the round of 8 there. He finished, you mentioned him already in this show tonight, Breyer. 4 wins, 15 top 5s, and 22 top 10s for Harrison Burton at 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. And last year, I remember me saying that, you know, Kyle Busch, he was driving for KBM in the Truck Series, and Kyle Busch not giving Harrison Burton enough credit, throwing him under the bus. Well, Harrison Burton proving people wrong in the first year, in his first year, full year in the Xfinity Series, in what could have been a championship 4 appearance for young Harrison. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do for next year.
And I would have to agree with that. You know, if I had to, you know, for passing around grades, he gets a B-plus grade for me. You know, he ran a partial schedule last year, running 9 or 8 races, and he even had 1 top 5, 5 top 10 finishes there. with an average start of 9.1. So he's definitely started to come into his own a little bit, and he improved that average start this year to 7.8. And so, yeah, he's definitely improving as a driver. I'm very excited to see how he will do next year. I feel like I'm making a bold prediction already. I think he'll be a champ for contender next year.
Yep.
I feel like he'll probably end up with 6 or 7 wins.
Ooh, wow. All right. Okay. Yeah. Nice little head start with the predictions. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, Harrison Burton finished out the year strong, and so definitely excited to see where this momentum goes into 2021 and next season. And there's been some silly season. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Riley Herbst out of the 18 and Daniel Hemric in. We saw Daniel Hemric in various appearances this year for Junior Motorsports, and he had he's had the worst luck probably any other NASCAR driver in overall three series, in my opinion. You have the equipment, but some offhand happens, or you get into a wrong situation or whatnot. But Daniel Hemric, no wins in either series, whether it's the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series. He has chances with Brad Keselowski racing in the Truck Series, and then he got moved up to the Xfinity Series there. No wins, and then getting kicked out of the RCR 8 ride for Tyler Reddick in the Cup Series, got demoted to a part-time ride, and now you're back in the full-time game with the Joe Gibbs Racing 18. This clearly is his best shot to get a win for Daniel Hemric. No, I mean, Junior Motorsports has some good equipment. I mean, ask Justin Allgaier with 3 wins. Noah Gregson had 2 wins this year. But going into the 18 ride next year for Daniel Hemric, the opportunity is right there. I mean, this is it for Daniel Hemric. I really liked him when he was in the Truck Series. I thought he was really going to be a good driver. But obviously he had some struggles and with performance and things like that. But now, looking ahead to next year, the 18, obviously, is now his. He knows what he's getting into. You got good equipment. Obviously, you have good teammates in Brandon Jones and the guy that we just talked about, Harrison Burton. So, why not? I mean, this is Ryan Herbst. I mean, no offense to him, but he had no wins this year. Only 4 top 5s, 17 top 10s. But the chance is there for Daniel Hemric to finally break that barrier and finally get that elusive win.
Right. And I feel like this is probably his last best shot to finally make something happen. You know, like as you mentioned, he was with Junior Motorsports this year, where everybody called the number 8 car like bad luck or something, because it would never, like, sometimes never finish the race for whatever reason that is. And, you know, he was a very good truck driver for Brad Keselowski in his years there. You know, came close to winning a couple times, but could never get over that hill to get that elusive victory. And so I feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure, but I feel like he handles that pressure well. But there's definitely going to be a spotlight on him next year and be like, okay, this is kind of your last big chance at the dance, or so to say, to get that first win, make your playoffs, and be a playoff contender.
Daniel Hemric, 2020 season, made 21 starts, 7 top 5s, 12 top 10s, DNFs, 7. Matches your top 5s. That's a problem. That's a problem right there. In only 10 laps led. So, Daniel Hemric, best chance yet to finally get that victory. And, of course, you got to get through this off-season first. And then, before you know it, the 2021 year will be right there all in front of us. So, that's going to put a bow to the racing talk here in 2020 here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. Hanging out with Briar Star Speedway Media for a few more minutes on the show. Season 5 finale. Okay, Briar, switching things up. The kind of to put an end of this podcast to K-State, the football season. K-State, 4-3 overall right now, 4-2 in the conference right now, dealing with this all this COVID stuff. And it feels like every week they've been doing that, pretty much all over the country. Team's been doing that, college team's been doing that. So, but here especially, climbing, you know, early on in the week saying that they're borderline to play Iowa State, and then I believe it was yesterday saying that he wants that play, wants to get these kids the opportunity to play every game this season, mm-hmm. which they have done to my surprise this year, and I'm not complaining one bit, but yeah, I mean, that's valuable experience, especially if you have seniors that want to come back for next year, which that's a whole other conversation I'm not going to get into, but yeah, so 4-3 right now, 4-2, and this is K-State's last, probably their last chance here to stay in this Big 12 race here as they go up to Ames this weekend, Farmageddon. I don't know why, it was explained to me earlier this year, well, last year, but I still get why they call it Farmageddon. I think they should call it another name. But Iowa State, obviously, they're right there right now, up there in the mix right now. So, Briar, what have been your thoughts? I mean, we've texted here and there about the season so far. What have been your overall thoughts on K-State this season and so far?
Well, we opened the season up, K-State opened the season up with a loss against Arkansas State, which was disappointing, 35-31. It's like, gosh, we could have did open up with a win, and we probably could have been like 5-0 or something like that. And we were doing really well for a while until, you know, we got that big blowout win against Kansas, 55-14. But, you know, then we got to West Virginia on Halloween, and that was a rough game. I'm not going to lie, I quit watching with, like, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I'm like, well, there's no point of a comeback now. And so we pretty much know the final score of that game. Last week was obviously, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago, was disappointing too against Oklahoma State. We had a chance at the upset there, fall 2 points short. I'm like, oh my gosh, this season cannot get any, you know, better. And I feel like you said, this is our last chance to kind of remain bowl eligible, so to say, if we can get Iowa State. But Iowa State right now is ranked number 17, and then we got two more tough matchups against Baylor and Texas to close out the season.
Yeah, Baylor 1-5, and then you'll come back home to Texas, which is also ranked right now at 22, and they're also sitting at 4-2 in the conference, 5-2 overall. Yeah, it's been. Yeah, we had a shot there at Oklahoma State. I talked about it on the other podcast that I did, the Purple Project podcast, shameless plug. It's dedicated to K-State sports with my co-host Alex Aiden. And yeah, that's a huge missed opportunity there for the Cats there. Left the stadium. I was at the game, left the stadium, disappointed there. That's a missed opportunity there for the Cats to get it done there, especially considering all the high emotions of that entire game. I thought, man, Will Howard going to go in here at least to give Blake Lynch an opportunity to go ahead, take the lead, and with the way that our defense was playing a couple weeks ago, they really shut down Oklahoma State offense. They had no Tylan Wallace, which was huge, and Chuba Hubbard was limited on the ground. There, but K-State's defense was just absolutely dominant there. And just not to win that ball game there with little offensive help sucks. Let's just put it out of this. So now you gotta go up here and you're dealing with all these COVID issues now. Trying to have enough bodies to play. It's gonna be interesting on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. in Ames on Fox. So I'm anxious for this game. I'm anxious to see what K-State does. And bigger question though, can K-State find other athletes on the offensive side of the ball? Now, I know I'm going to talk about this on the other podcast recording tomorrow, but what can K-State do offensively to stay in this game with Iowa State?
Well, I mean, obviously, the passing game is going to be a little bit tougher. You don't know if there's going to be interceptions. So we obviously saw that with the game a couple weeks ago. I think that was a West Virginia game where we saw a couple of interceptions, which is definitely a heartbreaker. Obviously you got to pass the ball, and then the running game too. Got to make sure the running game, I think, should be hopefully decent. But it's just, you know, this is the tough time of year on the schedule where yes, we played some decent teams like Oklahoma in the beginning of the schedule and we won against that one.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the tough time of year where you are playing the really good teams and everybody is in a rhythm, so to say. And, you've pretty much got to come with your A game.
Yeah, we'll see what happens up there in Ames on Saturday afternoon on Fox at 3 p.m. Central Time start. So, very anxious to see what the Cats do up there. Kansas State sitting third overall in the conference right now behind the Cowboys and, of course, Iowa State, who is ranked 17th. And, of course, Oklahoma State has a big game in primetime with Oklahoma. All right, Breyer. Last question here, and I'm going to let you have the floor here. And this is football related with the Chiefs. They're playing the Raiders, and I haven't heard much about the situation with COVID, but I just stumbled on ESPN here, and the Raiders reported had 7 more added to the COVID list as I'm reading it right now. But, obviously, you guys lost to these guys at home not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. But what is your outlook for the Chiefs the rest of the year? And obviously, I've heard there's been a lot of talk about Dynasty. A lot of talk about that, and why not with Patrick Mahomes and that offense and a very good defense? What do you think this team can go this year for the rest of the year?
Well, I do feel like they are playoff worthy contenders. Obviously, and with them being a defending champion team, but there are some things I've seen over the last few weeks where they've got to clean up. You know, like there's been numerous penalties on the defense that's just giving the offense free yardage, moving up the chain and all that. And so that's definitely some things they just need to work on still. Yes, definitely they have some good players on the defense too, but that they just need to work on that moving forward. And I feel like they probably could win against the Raiders this week, but that's if the game happens, as you mentioned. It just seems like, you know, this situation just keeps growing out of control a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens for the rest of the week, and we'll see what reports we get from all the games this week, whether it's college football or NFL, moving forward as this pandemic continues to really affect everything else throughout the football world. So we'll see what happens. Breyer, any last thoughts here before we close out the show? And while you're at it, you can tell people where they can find you.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at BreyerStarTV. That's all lowercase. And then you can follow me on Instagram at B_Star18. That's all lowercase as well. And then, of course, you can check out my work at SpeedwayMedia.com.
Awesome. And you can follow me on Twitter, y'all. Y'all know what the deal is, at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. And I mentioned this a couple times throughout this podcast. You can find me again doing another podcast, which is dedicated to K-State Athletics, the Purple Project Podcast. Another shameless plug with my co-host Alex Aiden. We got another episode. We're recording another episode tomorrow, getting ready for the Iowa State game and more transfer news as well. And the 3Y NASCAR podcast, you can find it wherever podcasts are found. You know what the deal is. And it is the off season. We'll be coming to you every 2 weeks. So this will come out on Friday night, our usual day. And then from there, we'll do every 2 weeks from there. So we'll get you caught up with all the season news. And if anything breaking happens, I will talk about it with y'all as well. But Briar, it's been fun tonight, man, talking with you, catching up with NASCAR news and everything else. And I'm sure we'll be texting throughout the rest of the K-State season, my friend. It's been another fun night, my friend.
Oh yes. I'm always, thankful and fortunate that you bring me on your shows. And it's definitely always fun to talk racing with another racing friend. So
awesome. Well, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the football games, if they were to be played this weekend. And I'm sure at some point during the off season, or right before the year again, or the season again, I'll have you back on at some point.
That sounds good to me. Hopefully, the rest of the year doesn't get too crazy. So.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Take it easy. You guys take it easy. This has been the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. We out.
To the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts: Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.